As promised, a Middle East news update coming from our good friend David Dolan. David has a long history of being a journalist in the Middle East. You know, that gives him a leg up in his capability of giving us great insight into the issues that we have to cover, and we always are so appreciative of David coming to these broadcast tables to help us understand what's going on there. Now, David, the number one topic I guess we have to begin with, I've got Winky Madad standing by. He'll give us the Jewish perspective. Itamar Marcus is going to give us the Palestinian reaction to the meeting at the White House on last Wednesday between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. But this was a very important meeting. And David, was it not a different meeting than has been the case over the last 8 years?
Well, clearly, Jimmy. I mean, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist or a professional analyst to see that Benjamin Netanyahu feels far more comfortable with Donald Trump at the podium next to him than Barack Obama. It's just clear. You know, there was body language, there were words between them, and they obviously are friends. They've known each other a long, long time, and Prime Minister Netanyahu appreciates the fact that Donald Trump has a daughter that's converted to Judaism, and his grandkids are, you know, also practicing Jews, and of course their father is an Orthodox Jew. This does make a difference, these sorts of things, because, of course, Barack Hussein Obama had a father who was a Muslim and didn't have any Jewish relatives that we know of, and obviously didn't show, in Israel's opinion anyway, a great deal of understanding of the depths of some of the problems they're dealing with, and that's what they felt. So, you know, they say simpatico, there's just a feeling between them, and there's a definite warmth there, and that's going to be foundational for what goes on ahead here in the next coming days and weeks and months, and especially if there is a confrontation with Iran, either from the United States or Israel or both. The Israelis definitely feel that they have much more of America's back, as it were, and even though Barack Obama said that he had Israel's back, they weren't quite sure that was the case, and I think they do feel that is the case from the new administration, and that's a major change.
Absolutely a major change. I was watching the news conference, and I don't know if you saw it, David, but the interaction between the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, and the son-in-law for President Trump. He said, hey, I knew you when you were a little boy running around in diapers. So that's a very interesting relationship. And he's going to be the one assigned by the president, his father-in-law, to deal with the possibility of a resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But it looked like the president threw something out. I happen to think, and let me see what your opinion is, I think he was doing it as a part of his negotiating plan when he said, look, two states, one state, whatever you guys decide, that's what I'm going to be happy with.
Well, Jimmy, I was a little bit annoyed watching the media coverage of that on the main networks and the BBC and some others that I watch, in that they said the president has announced a new major change of U.S. policy going back for decades. He's no longer in favor of the two-state solution. I mean, that's not what he said. He said that whatever you, the Israelis, and the Palestinians agree to is fine with me. And that's been part of the problem, in my estimation, over the years with U.S. policy regarding this conflict and the attempts to settle it, is that U.S. Secretaries of State, and John Kerry's the latest example, they come in with their plan, and they put it on the table, and they say, this is what you guys have to do, this is what we believe the peace will look like, and, you know, to the Israelis, hey, you have to agree to yet another Arab state, we already have a bunch of them, over 20, but you have to agree to another one, and it's going to include half of your capital city, Jerusalem. Well, that's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen, and we all know that by now. And so for the president to say, look, we've tried those things, they haven't worked, and if you guys can work out a broader solution, and that's what was most interesting to me, Jimmy, is he was talking about the same thing that Benjamin Netanyahu spoke about, the president just alluded to it, that there's been a sea change in the Middle East, in that the Arab Sunni Muslim states, that particularly Saudi Arabia, but Egypt and others, they consider Iran their major threat. Israel's not going to destroy them. Israel's not going to come and bomb Riyadh. But the Iranians, are now threatening to attack Riyadh. They said they have a missile that can hit it. The president is just saying maybe we can do a new deal, a regional deal that involves all these parties, not just the Palestinians. And he was saying if we can negotiate that, we'll do it. And that is certainly welcome news in Israel. And the main issue that Israel's concerned about, as the prime minister made clear, is Iran. And that's what they mainly talked about, I think.
Well, let's then continue along that line, because I agree with you. I think that was at the top of the agenda for this summit there at the White House. You've just talked about the threat that Iran is to Saudi Arabia, to most of the Middle East, in fact, and in particular to Israel. But how about this? Iran come out this week and makes the statement, Israel is the biggest threat in this world. Boy, that's almost ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, it is, Jimmy, but there was an opinion poll taken, and I think it was 12 or 15 countries a year or two ago. I can't remember what exactly, but and they asked people in Great Britain and France and Germany and Japan, the countries that participated, what are the greatest threats the world is facing? And most of them put Israel right on the top. In fact, above North Korea, above Iran, above some of these other active enemies of the United States. Now, that's just ridiculous, but so many have been convinced that this is the pivotal issue. This is what's holding up peace in the whole Middle East. And, you know, if we didn't have this Arab-Israeli conflict, we'd have peace and safety, and the oil would be flowing, and everyone would be happy. Well, who is it right now that's shooting and killing each other? It's Shiite Muslims and Sunni Muslims. That's what's going on in Syria, basically. I mean, it's more complex than that, but essentially it's that. It's essentially that in Iraq. It's essentially that in Yemen. That's what was taking place in Egypt, although it wasn't two branches of Islam. It was the fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood that Morsi headed, and then the former regime and the army. And that's what's happening in Libya. So this is a regional thing, and Israel's not the cause of any of that. But it's become the mantra around the world that it is the case. But the Saudis know that it's not Tel Aviv, as people say. It's not Jerusalem. It's not Netanyahu that really is threatening their existence. It's the Iranian regime, the Shiite Muslim regime there. And now they're test-firing missiles, and they're, you know, shooting rockets at our ships, and the Russians are buzzing our aircraft, their allies, and doing this and that. So it's not Israel that's being the aggressor here, and I think at least the Trump administration does understand that.
Let me change the topic of our discussion, just completely different from what we've been talking about. A couple of stories, if you'll give us comments on them. First of all, there's going to be an excavation starting this summer of the location where the Ark of the Covenant was there at Kiryat Yearim, which is between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv on Highway Number 1 up to the north of that, which is where King David, 2 Samuel chapter 6, went to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant, bring it into Jerusalem to put it in the temple. But at the same time, some officials, some Jewish officials at the Temple Institute saying, we need to start building a third temple. Quite interesting stories, just to comment on those two stories.
Well, it is interesting, Jimmy, and I lived a couple months real close to Kiryat Yearim. A close friend of mine who's a Christian heads the Master's College in California. They have an extension campus in the hills of Judea, just outside of Jerusalem, very, very close to that. So I know the site very well. And it's only been partially excavated, you know, and it's like they say in Israel, you put a shovel down to build a new parking lot or to build anything, and you find an ancient civilization or an ancient church or an ancient synagogue or something. And it's so often happened. This was the last known place for the Ark to rest. So, I mean, it was in Jerusalem after that, but the thought that they may have taken it back there, you know, when the exile took place, it's a real thought. They're going to dig, and it's just going to be exciting to watch. And, Jimmy, the 33 years I lived in Israel, all the news reports I did for CBS and others, the most exciting were those periodic stories about, hey, new discoveries near the Dead Sea. By the way, they're looking at new caves down by the Dead Sea also that they think may contain new documents. We may find a whole other copy of the ancient Bible, the Hebrew Bible there or something. I mean, nobody knows. But I heard one of the archaeologists this week on television say, you know, we just are thrilled because every time we go out and look, we find evidence that we were here. Our ancestors were here. And as Prime Minister Netanyahu said at the press conference with President Trump, we are Jews. Our name comes from Judea because we come from here. You know, we're not occupiers. We're not foreign invaders. We're not apartheid colonists that went into South Africa somewhere. This is our ancient homeland. So it's exciting to watch this.
David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East for us, and we'll stay on top of the story of the excavations there at Kiryat Yearim, where the Ark of the Covenant rested for about 120 years, and also the preparations to build the next temple. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. Appreciate the time and conversation we could have.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.